Blog Talk Radio.
I was meant to fly. Oh, 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 oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
Tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio, and I'm your host, Yvonne Pierre. Today's guest is a woman who could have easily spent her life proclaiming she was a victim. She could have thrown in the towel and given up. In 2002, she was in a horrible hit-and-run accident. She was put on life support and wasn't expected to live, but she was given a second chance. Today's topic is the soul of a survivor, and my guest is Chandra Lee Brown. Chandra was named the international chairperson of disabled individuals for the Oprah Winfrey for Nobel Prize movement in 2006. She's a survivor, entrepreneur, advocate, and motivational speaker. Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing, Yvonne?
I'm great. And how's your morning going?
Oh, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Beautiful.
Before we go into the car accident that I mentioned earlier that left you on life support for 2.5 weeks,
yeah.
I wanted to first, you know, discuss what happened before then. You were faced with a lot of different obstacles,
mm-hmm.
To say the least,
yeah.
Before the accident. Where did you see your life, and what was your life plans before May 3rd, 2002?
Thank you. I was in school at Georgia Medical Institute. Well, it was called Georgia Medical Institute at that time, and I was studying to be an assistant medical person for a doctor. And from there on, I was going to study forensic pathology. So I was real, and I'm still interested in that, but my life has changed a little bit, but so God wants me to do other things, so I'll turn it around for God.
Yeah. In just a few, we're going to talk about the accident.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I wanted to address what happened before the accident. You survived,
right,
other challenges,
right,
being molested by your biological father.
Yes.
And just before the accident, you were woke up by him being,
mm-hmm,
raped.
Yes, I was.
Both, I can't imagine how devastating that could be. I also was molested,
mm-hmm,
but it wasn't by a family member.
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to cope with this?
I am, Yvonne, I'm still coping with that. I had to take a deep swallow, but I'm still coping with that, and it still hurts. It doesn't. Time heals some wounds, so it doesn't hurt as much or as bad as it once did. Because a daughter and a father's relationship is supposed to be so special,
right?
And when I woke up that night. And it was before my accident when I woke up and I realized what was going on and he was on top of me. It really did something to my psyche. It really did something to my head. Like, how in the world? Why in the world? I am your child. But then after that, things started making sense because my first time going to a gynecologist, the doctor told me that I was not a virgin. Well, told me and my mom. And I said, no, I am. No, you're not. So things started making sense, and I'm trying to find it in my heart really to forgive him and go on with my life. I cannot help what others do to me, but I can help what I do to them and what I do in my life. So I'm trying to make peace with him and make peace with myself and go on.
And that's important.
It is very important.
Yeah, and it's one of the hardest things to do is not just to forgive him
mm-hmm.
or to come to an understanding that it's not. I think for some people to forgive equates to accepting that it's okay, but
yes.
It's not.
No,
it's for your own sanity.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's for your own sanity, and the hardest thing two is to forgive yourself also.
Yeah.
So as of today, you're a little more at peace with it than you were.
I am a little bit more peace at it. I don't know something. I don't know about life sometimes because I don't know why things or certain things happen, but since that has happened, I have been an advocate for children, especially children, foster children who are living on the system. I do some volunteer work for CASA, and that is court-appointed special advocate, and I advocate for them when we go to court and try to help them stay in a safe environment.
Wow. Yeah. And that's therapeutic, too.
It is.
I can imagine.
To have those eyes looking up at you, I can't even explain it. What it does to the inside of me, and to know that they are really dependent on you.
Yeah. I believe that we have the option. I believe when we have. What am I trying to say? I believe we have the option when we face with any challenge that either to allow it to empower us or to break us down.
Mm-hmm.
How, and I think you kind of answered that, how you've allowed some things that you've been through to empower you versus
mm-hmm.
break you down.
Well, Yvonne, I've had a breakdown. I don't want anyone to leave this interview saying, "Oh, she's perfect," because that is not. That's just not so.
Right.
And I've never said this in an interview, and I'm going to share it because it's going to help me, and it's going to help others who hear this part. And let me see. Last year, about four to five months, I began to binge drink. Now, and I know that there are people who have brain injuries, and they've committed suicide. They've broken down and just couldn't take it, and I understand all of that. And I think that what happened to me was that it was so much that it hit me at once, and I didn't understand. I just didn't understand, and it became a little rough for me, and I started binge drinking, and I had to go back to God, and I had to learn, you know, that God is really the way and the truth, and I had to go back to Him and just say, well, why? why is this going on? Why can't I stop this? Why can't I, why can't I keep a job right now?
Right.
And it was really hard. And as you know, in the state of Georgia, it's a work-at-will state. You can walk in one day with a job, and maybe they don't like how your hair is or what type of lipstick you have on, and you're fired. So it was just extremely rough for me, and just being in the house and not being able to interact with human beings. And
now, this was after the accident?
It was after my accident, yes.
But let's tell the listeners what happened May 3rd, 2002.
Okay.
You were in a hit-and-run accident,
yes,
that completely changed your life. What happened?
Yes. Okay. I'm not sure really what happened other than I was going to visit my mother, and I was at the gas station putting gas in my car, and that is really the only thing that I remember. I remember hearing a voice that say, put your arm up. I was like, what? Put your arm up. And so I put my arm up, and my right arm was completely broken because I was ejected out of the car over 50 feet and landed on my head. And I put my arm in the way to help some of the fall, I guess. And the doctor said that my arm, I would never be able to use my arm again. But today, the pin has been taken out. My arm has healed. I'm lifting weights to make my arm stronger. I'm giving beautiful hugs. I love showing my arm off. And I had to learn my ABCs. I had to relearn my ABCs. I had to relearn the days of the week. I kept getting the Tuesdays and Thursdays mixed up because they both started with a T, and I was getting confused with that. I had to learn how to cross the street again, how to use that device that you mesh so the light would change and so you would cross the street. And
mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to find items in the grocery store, and that was weird to me because I used to be a cook, a great cook, and that was really weird. I had to learn how to tie my shoes. It's just so many little things that we take for granted, and I really had to relearn them.
You are on life support for
mm-hmm.
2.5 weeks. During that 2.5 weeks, were you conscious?
No.
Where you are, okay. Okay. You, on your website,
mm-hmm.
thesoulofasurvivor.org,
yeah.
You mentioned that you, while on life support, that you made a promise to God.
Yes.
What was that promise?
I made a promise to God that I would listen and I would do God's will, whatever God wanted me to do. And I am a firm believer that God wants me to come out and to help others, to be that positive voice and that positive person, and to help others. And there are days, like I said, there are days when I get tired.
Well, obviously God heard you. and he gave you a second chance.
Yeah.
And,
but I'm here by prayer too. There were many people who came in and they sang to me and they prayed for me, and some of my friends even got into bed and just held me and just sang to me. And when I woke up, I was singing. I don't know. I don't remember
so
what
your
all.
Your subconscious heard them.
Yes. That's why they
wow.
tell you when a person is on life support or unconscious, talk to them. Just talk, they hear you. So I know I heard them, but I don't remember anything. But I am here by prayer.
You're
and
truly
God.
Blessed. And,
yes, I am.
You had to, like you said earlier, you had to relearn the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, that could have broke their spirit. And I think you touched on it a little bit. You were going into it about the binge drinking. I want to get
yeah.
back to how you overcame that.
Mm-hmm.
But you were given, of course, a second chance. And how have this changed your perception of life versus the way you viewed life before the accident?
How does it change my perception?
Yeah, after the accident, you know, after going through the stuff that, well, after accepting or recognizing that God gave you a second chance,
mm-hmm.
have that changed your appreciation for life?
Yes, it has. I look at life totally different now. Wow, this is kind of hard. I had always believed in God, but it's nothing like really getting to know God firsthand, what God can do for you in your life when something like this happens to his child or his children. I know firsthand that God is in the blessing business now, and I'm supposed to be here today, and every time I wake up, God gives me another day, another chance just to get it right. And that's what I fight for every day. And I love putting smiles on a person's face. And sometimes we walk by people, we don't know what type of, we don't know what they're going through. And sometimes if you just say hello to a person, that may have helped that person that whole day. Oh, hi, how you doing?
I believe
and,
that.
And I do little things like that, and it may be something so big to another person. So I look at life just a little bit different now. I'm a little bit more spiritual.
Yeah. So you went through a phase where you were binge drinking.
Yes.
And was it faith, or you reckon? Did you change your perception a little bit to get you from reliant on the drinking? Or was it something that, a moment that you had that made you kind of wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to rely on God from that here on out?
Thank you. The binge drinking, I believe, came in place when I could not hold a job. Before my accident, I was able to do whatever Chandra wanted to do, whenever Chandra wanted to do, and accomplish it and be very good at it. And that took a huge toll on me because I couldn't hold a job. I couldn't pay my bills. It was just really rough. But I always talked to God, and I would always ask God, why? What is going on? What is this all about? I'm doing the right thing. I'm praying. I'm doing this and that and the other. I'm helping people. Why, Lord? Why? And I had to calm down. I really had to calm down, and I had to take things for what they were. And it wasn't that. I think that was God's way of making me just a little bit stronger. I don't know. I go by this quote from a friend that I met, I think, a couple of years ago, Valerie Burton, and her quote is, start giving yourself the grace to be imperfect, make mistakes, learn from them, and move on.
Wow.
And that's a beautiful quote, and that's something that I needed when I read that quote. That's something that I really needed to listen, that I really needed to read, and it hit home.
Yeah.
Just start giving yourself the grace to be imperfect, make mistakes, learn from them, and move on.
Yeah. Because nobody's perfect.
No.
I think I struggled with that too, thinking, you know, when I was younger, thinking, okay, I don't really, because I wasn't the type of person I was seeing on TV and stuff like that. It's
mm-hmm.
just, that was, that, I think a lot of women, probably men too, but I think a lot of women struggle with the whole perfect. and accepting, and then after you going through an accident and the challenges and stuff that you face, it's again trying to accept that no one's perfect.
Yeah.
And that everything is, no matter what you face, you know, everything is going to be okay. It's trusting that God is still there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he still has your back through whatever challenges you face.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think what happened to me was that God did not leave me during those 4.5-5 months. I left God, even though I was talking, but I wasn't, or asking God why. I wasn't there. You know, I just was
yeah.
not there. I was going through what we call the motions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't genuine.
So would you say it was acceptance?
It was total acceptance.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
When you went through the phase of, like most people do, that I can't, you know, you had your down moments where I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
During the recovery process, learning how to do everything over from tying your shoes, your
mm-hmm.
alphabets.
Yeah.
And first, before I go further, I want to say I really commend you for not giving up and continuing to push and strive to excel from that.
Mm-hmm.
But at any time during, you pretty much answered it. You did go through phases of, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And it was acceptance that kind of pushed you through the recovery. Well, what, during the recovery, what made you say, you know what, I am going to learn this. I am going to. What pushed you through that?
My stubborn streak, which I got from, I inherited that from my family. I must say that because they're going to listen to this. But my stubborn streak, I kind of get a kick out of people saying, no, you're not going to do this, and I love proving them wrong. Like when I heard the doctor say I was not going to be able to use my arm again, or it's going to be a hard climb, or the hardest climb. And it was just me being stubborn, wanting to prove others wrong. My doctor is upstairs, and that's who tells me, and that's who I live by. That's who tells me if I am or if I'm not going to. And but that's not God. You're
yeah.
going to. With all
yeah.
things, all things are possible through me. So, just my stubborn streak.
Well, thank God for your stubbornness. Since then, of course, you wanted to do forensics. You was in school to be a medical assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And what plans do you have now?
Okay, well, right now I am in the process of writing my autobiography, which is due to come out fall 2008. It may come out sooner, but that is the due date right now.
Okay.
And some of those stories in my book, they're going to make you cry, laugh, get mad, angry, but they will have you on the edge of your seat. And there's a book that comes out that has inspirational stories of women, and it has my edited story version, and that's in Ferris Wheel volume 2, and that comes out in, I think, in about 5 days. And Miriam Mimi Jacobs is the author of that book. So I'm planning on doing more books, more public speaking, and just helping others. Of course, I'm keeping my website up and meeting people right now.
You you do a lot of advocacy work with the disabled community.
Mm-hmm.
What is your advocacy?
I think, let me see. Well, I love helping children. I really love helping children. Children have a voice, and sometimes as adults we don't think that they do, but they really do have a voice. I also, this past December, the day before Christmas, I cut off my dreads to give it to an organization for children who have cancer, alopecia, or leukemia, so that they can make a wig out of that. So I'm doing advocacy work for children as well as people who have challenges, disabilities. And there are many laws that need to be changed.
Yeah.
For people who have disabilities.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I think that's the new. Is that the new governor in? Oh, Jesus! I forgot the guy's name. Is it New York where the governor now, the new governor is blind?
I haven't heard that.
Yes. Well, I have to do my research again because I forget where he's from. But I'm pretty sure that he's going to make some better law. Yes, change a lot of laws and. Well, he's legally blind, and but there are a lot of laws that need to be changed because a lot of us want to work, but as soon as it's revealed that we have a disability or something of that nature, then either we're fired or they discriminate against us. So things need to be changed.
Yeah, a lot of things need to be changed, and I think. Because I have an investment in the disabled community too, I was thinking about it the other day. It's almost like a catch 22.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really want to pay the benefits,
mm-hmm.
the health care for the disabled community.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I prefer to say the special needs community. But as far as employment. And access and accessibility is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are some employees that will hire someone with a known disability, but the pay is not good.
A lot of things
need to change.
Mm-hmm.
They will hire
someone with a known disability for their quota. To say that they do have someone with a disability, and no, the pay is not good, and I've seen a lot of discrimination until I open my mouth and say, well, you know, I'm disabled, I have a disability because I don't look it, mine is silent,
right?
When others it's more visible, so I get to see an awful lot of discrimination.
Yeah, that really needs to be.
Addressed.
Mm-hmm. And we're running low on time, so I want to touch on a couple of more things before we get off the air.
Okay.
You're ejected, as you mentioned earlier. You were ejected 50 feet into the air and landed on your head. And I think that your testimony is very powerful. And I truly commend you for being stubborn enough to push through it. You are truly a survivor, and I want everyone to visit your website at thesoulofasurvivor.org, where you mentioned that you put life and living goes on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to also mention How to Jump from a Ferris Wheel and Land on Your Feet, which is due out this month in March, I believe the 23rd, but they can visit the website to double-check on the dates. And it's CandaliscePublishing.com for more information. Also, to look out for your autobiography and things that you are doing. If they can also visit, as I mentioned before, thesoulofasurvivor.org, and I'll also have the information on the website. Is there any inspirational words you would like to leave us with?
Yes. I sign a lot of my emails with or messages with this quote, that another one that I live by Dr. Maya Angelou. Someone was hurt before you, wrong before you, hungry before you, frightened before you, humiliated before you, raped before you, yet someone survived.
Wow.
We can all be, well, we're all survivors in something. So,
wow.
We've all had something done to us. We're not, and that's what keeps me going too. We're not the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. King used to say, if I can help somebody, my living will not be in vain.
Wow. Thank you.
I know you are truly an inspiration.
And thank you for sharing your testimony. And I wish you all the best. And Chandra Lee Brown, I'll have her information on the website.
I honor your great.
Thank you. Tune in to this show and the past show. Visit www.hyhradio. Thank you. This is Yvonne Pierre on the Yvonne Pierre Show. Be blessed and a blessing to others. Thank you.
Thank you.
I won't.